We're pleased to be joined here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com by Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman, whom you can follow on Twitter at BruceFeldmanCFB. And one of the first things I want to ask you about is we're a big fan of the freak list that you put together every offseason that compiles the best athletes in college football. Now that we're at the Combine where these guys really shine, who are some of those guys that you're excited to see who you think are going to do really well in the drills this weekend?
You know, Sammy Coates from Auburn is one of them. He's a big athletic receiver. Now, his hands are inconsistent at best, but he is a guy who is a 42-inch vertical jump guy. He's a you know, muscled-up 6'2", 205 guy. Jordan Phillips is a defensive lineman from Oklahoma. He's 6'6", 330. I just talked to his old D-line coach, is now an assistant with the Green Bay Packers. I just talked to him like a couple hours ago. He was like, right now at 6'6", 330, he could stand here and do a backflip. So now, does that mean he's going to be a great defensive lineman in the NFL?
Not
if they
personally
can get him motivated and cranked up, maybe. We'll see. Those are guys I would say to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on Philip Dorsett, receiver from Miami. I think he's the fastest man in Indianapolis right now. You know, those would be the ones, you know, to really keep watching. I think Bryce Petty will impress some people in some of the different kind of drills, because he's a guy I could see actually covering kicks at one point. He's kind of got a Rambo quality to him.
Now, it's interesting, I want to transition to the quarterback position, because you wrote a novel called The QB, The Making of the Next Generation of Quarterbacks. It actually has Nick Foles on the cover. I know you didn't select the picture for that.
I did not select the picture.
You get a lot of questions about
that. We wanted Aaron Rodgers on the picture, but I lost that. But Chip Kelly was very gracious in his time and in helping me with the book, and I appreciated that. So,
what are some of the challenges that NFL teams are having in projecting these quarterbacks who played now? I mean, colleges are primarily playing these spread offenses.
Yeah.
You talked about Bryce Petty. You talked about the guys coming to spread system. What are the challenges that they're having going from college to the NFL?
Well, I think it's a little bit of, first of all, I'll use the example. I use this in the book. Was Johnny Manziel was one of the guys I followed. Johnny Manziel on the offense he was in at Texas A&M never did anything with the protections. It was all on the center who did everything. So, you know, there's a couple of scenes in the book where you see Kevin O'Connell, who's now the Browns' new quarterback coach, was the board guy for getting Johnny Manziel and Logan Thomas ready. And Johnny Manziel, you see, knows nothing about protection. So when he comes here to Indianapolis, you know, he's had about a month of a crash course to learn exactly, or as best he can, what's supposed to happen where, okay, who's the mic here? What are we doing? And have any semblance of a clue. And I think for guys like that, you know, that's a hard thing to learn. You know, it used to be, and Kevin and O'Connell and I joked about this, you'd look at a roster and go, okay, you know, Brian Urlacher's the middle linebacker, because that's what he's listed as, but maybe not in terms of in that defensive set of what the offensive line and the offense is going to be adjusting to. And so much of the game is problem solving, you know, and that's why Peyton Manning is still terrific and why Tom Brady is excellent. And I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers was a big part of the QB book because he kept on honing his craft and had to learn a lot of different things. And I think ultimately, you know, to go back to what college football is now, it's a different game than what the NFL has. There's elements of the college game. You'll see a little of Gus Malzahn stuff and Mike Leach stuff up in the NFL. The Patriots have incorporated some of it. But at the root, there's still a lot of different things that are the bread and butter of what they're doing. And I think some of the challenges, quite honestly, and I see it with Johnny Manziel, I see it with Jameis Winston, is, you know, what worked for you in college, they're going to take that away. You know, Vince Young was a great college player, but, and I talked to a couple of personnel people for the book, and one of the things they said is, you know, the NFL eventually will take away what you're great at, and what do you got next? Vince Young didn't have an answer for that. Johnny Manziel, at this point, does not have an answer for that.
So, in your estimation, Bruce, who do you think is the number three quarterback in this draft class? When you look at Winston, you look at Mariota, obviously they're considered the top two. You talked about Petty already. Who maybe else could fit into that conversation to be the third quarterback here?
You know, and I wouldn't say this for a Chip Kelly team, but I think Sean Mannion is a guy who people may come away going, oh, yeah, that guy actually throws it pretty good, and he's very smart. Sean Mannion played in a system which is more similar to what NFL teams typically do than a lot of these other guys. Bryce Petty's far off the radar because of Baylor and what they did. you know, there's no route tree for Baylor. It's all leverage based, run to open grass, you know, kind of stuff. Whereas Sean Mannion, who's got good size, he's a probably a below average athlete for a quarterback, but he's got a very good arm and he's very smart and he's very cerebral. I think Sean Mannion is a guy who could move into the number three spot. Brett Hundley's a guy I spent a lot of time around because he's in Los Angeles. He's at UCLA. He's a very good athlete. He's tough. He's very smart. His offense also is, when Noel Mazzoni runs it, it's a lot of stuff where it's the truest sense of the spread, where it's a lot of bubble screens and a lot of stuff on the perimeter. He's been so inconsistent. That would scare me about Brett's game. You know, he'll impress you if you're a media person, who'll impress you because, you know, he's sharp. But I just worry about the consistency of his arm, whereas I think Mannion, you know, he had a big 2013 because he had one of the best receivers in college football, Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks left, and then all of a sudden it was a much different offense for him there. And he didn't have a great year, but I think he could still, you know, boost his stock some this in the next couple of weeks.
Bruce, last question for you. You talked about how you spoke with Chip Kelly for your book. How much have you followed his career since he's gone from Oregon to the pro ranks to see how that offense would transition, to see how it's evolved?
A lot. You know, I'm a you know, I wouldn't say I'm a Chip, you know, I shouldn't say I'm a Chip Kelly fan.
Understood.
I keep an eye on it. And
you're on philadelphia.com, so
yeah,
you can.
Okay, I'm going to go all the way in on it. Yeah, I think he's one of the more fascinating people I've ever covered. I met him at the, I go to the football coaches convention every year. It's a lot of high school and junior college and college coaches from all levels of college football. And I met Chip when he had just gotten the Oregon OC job. Hardly anybody knew who he was. And we talked about a recruiting book I had done. And he was, you know, I'd always heard how smart he was from, like, Mario Cristobal, who's now a line coach at Alabama, said there's this guy that Bellotti just hired is brilliant. You're going to see. And he was right. That was one of the most astute predictions I've ever heard from any coach. And, you know, it's been interesting to watch Chip grow, because I went to the first head coach game he had, which was against Boise State at Boise State. It was a complete debacle. It was LeGarrette Blount punches a guy. He couldn't get a first down. I think there are, their guard, center guard, were all new, and so they looked awful in the game. And he responded really, really well after that, because, you know, he managed the LeGarrette Blount situation, which could have got way uglier. They started to win games, and, you know, he was a just such a they took on his personality. In the NFL, his first game, I was at Alabama, Texas A&M, and I spent the week with the Aggies while working on the book. It was a Monday night game, if I'm correct.
Washington
Redskins game. Kevin Sumlin's in there. He comes running into the offensive coordinator's office and starts going onto the grease board to draw up something that Chip brought out that people hadn't seen. I don't remember what they have, like 53 plays in the first half.
You got it. Yep.
Crazy numbers. So I am a huge Chip Kelly believer, to the point where, and we and I talked about this before, when, you know, the news was coming out that Ryan Day might get the job, I was like, I remember Chip Kelly saying this guy is going to be a great coach, and if Chip Kelly says it, I'm going to believe it, because I just think he is so smart. So I'm curious to see how he's going to do, you know, to grow forward. Just knowing some of the guys he's, you know, one of the guys I covered a lot is Matt Barkley. I didn't know how Matt was going to fit in with what Chip does, but I know Matt's, you know, a sharp guy. And so, you know, I keep an eye on the Eagles as much as I'm, probably more so than almost any other team, just because I want to see what he's doing.
Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Bruce Feldman, CFB. You can also pick up his book, The QB. Bruce, thank you very much for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.